BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey, how you doing, listeners? It's Adam here.
Hey, this is Joe. Welcome to the second of our special Glastonbury podcasts with the highlights from our slightly chaotic broadcasting as usual here at Glastonbury. It's been chaotic in a different sort of way this time, though, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, the thing is that Six Music is broadcasting 24 hours a day from the festival, so everyone has been stretched to the absolute limit. And some, I'm looking at Ben,
our producer Ben Appleyard,
who is
looking like a broken husk of a man.
Ben is an absolute shell of a human. He's been stretched to beyond his limits. He's stared death in the face a number of occasions
in the last four days. Over 10 years, so he now looks about 15.
And he's giggled at death, but death gave him quite a bad pummeling before Ben managed to run away.
When Ben stares into the abyss, the abyss stares back at Ben.
And chuckles, and then Ben runs away, and then the abyss catches up with Ben, smacks him in the back of the
legs. Pinches him on the bottom.
This is our way, Ben, of just saying thank you so much for all your hard work. Thanks, you get Ben.
Thank you very much. Yes. It's been a jolly good fun working with you both.
Yeah, it's been really nice.
A jolly good fun.
We should say thank you so much to James Sterling, who produces our show on a regular basis. And he's the man responsible for the amazing shipping forecast inserts that you will have heard in podcast one. And I think we've got another one coming up in this one as well. So thank you so much, James, for all your hard work. I wanted to get that out of the way at the top of the podcast, right?
Quite right.
Rather than, you know, otherwise it gets forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like so many of our promises.
Yeah, we've made a lot of promises and you'll probably hear some of them in the forthcoming podcast. Like if you've missed the recording of us doing your made-up jokes at the cabaret tent, that should be in this podcast. When we played it on the live show, it went a bit wonkaloid.
We were both talking like this for some reason. I don't know why.
And we made promises about me playing Harvest Moon. We are going to do that. We might have to do that back in London. We couldn't get our hands on a guitar. We tried to harness the power of the Keris, but she was otherwise occupied. So we're going to try and do that in London and stick it up on the old blog.
Yeah, but without further ado, let's get underway with our second Glastonbury Highlights podcast. Enjoy!
This is a message from the big British castle, coming live from the Glastonbury Festival. We're inside a special area with great big walls, so the weirdos and the hoolies can't get through to go to the loo.
You know what I'd really like now?
What?
I just feel this programme so far has been very trivial, and it's been full of waffle.
That's true, isn't it?
And what we need is some sort of facts.
Hard facts.
Some truth, some solid, unmitigated information.
Hewn from the living rock of Stonehenge.
Yes.
All right, let's have a facts jingle then.
Did you know? Well, it's a Glastonbury fact.
Oh. Did you know, Joe Cornish, that that Lily Allen's rider this year included 200 bottles of ketchup,
yes,
15 inflatable men, 600 back issues of Grazia, the staff of Grazia to write a new issue of Grazia when she'd run out of back issues to read, and a 60-foot cigarette. This is unbelievable. A 60-foot cigarette that had to be kept lit at all times in case you needed a puff.
Wow.
I mean, that's just extraordinary,
isn't it? A 60-foot cigarette. Does that have enough internal structure to support itself?
It has to be carried by the staff of Grazia.
Did you say that?
No, I didn't, but it's interesting that you should ask.
The staff of Grazia. So she doesn't have a separate staff?
No.
That's multitasking.
They multitask, yeah. While she's reading the back issues,
multigrazing,
they'll be carrying it. And of course, as she's puffing on it, the thing gets shorter.
Very, very bad for her.
And then people can get laid off. You know, not so many people. The more she puffs, the fewer people it takes to support the length of the cigarette.
She'll make herself ill.
She will, won't
she? How many of those does she smoke a day?
10.
Really? 10 packs a day? Wow, that's like 600 feet of cigarette.
Yeah.
In each pack. So that's like 6,000. I don't know. My maths is shaky, but
it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
She's got a very good voice, considering.
You know, while we're on the subject of the Allen family, did you know, it's a Glastonbury fact, that 12 Keith Allen lookalikes are employed each year in case Keith is late to the festival? There have to be 12 because normal people, when they take on the guise of Keith Allen, have a very short life expectancy.
Yes, like a motorcycle courier or a firefly.
That's right.
Mosquito.
So you've got to have emergency Keith Allen lookalikes.
I saw one earlier
Did
in
you?
The press area, yeah. was very lifelike.
Do you want one more Glastonbury fact before
Please,
we go into our
yes.
Mm, I think I read the two good ones.
they're the good ones. Well, I definitely want another one then.
Okay. Did you know it's a Glastonbury fact? After a particularly muddy Glastonbury festival around about 10 years ago, Michael Eavis spent £6 million on a small cloud-busting unit that was sold to him by Kate Bush. He doesn't use it every year because it's very expensive to run. It runs on a special kind of oil that's only found in rappers.
Rappers. Really?
And they're very...
Well, like rap musicians.
Yes. They really? Don't want to part with it for nothing. You know, because a lot of them are very greedy. So it's very expensive to run the machine. But this year, Bruce Springsteen deferred part of his fee to guarantee that it was a beautiful evening for his set.
You know, that smacks of truth because it's worked, hasn't it?
It's absolutely worked. And the oil to run the cloud-busting machine was extracted partly from Jay-Z, who played last year.
Really?
He gave a little bit. Dizzy Rascal gave a tiny little bit. But he didn't want to. He was pretty grumpy about
Why is it only rappers?
Don't ask me. I didn't make the machine. Ask Kate Bush.
Yeah, that's just science, isn't it?
Exactly. That's the way it works. They've got the power to bust clouds.
Oh. 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 Oh.
It's a way to get your single on the radio, isn't it? To make it about the radio.
Yeah.
That's a classic tactic for getting yourself in there.
How would your song about the radio go?
Oh, the DJ that's playing the song is cool, and the station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great. Please play me, I'm pretty.
That's I love that song. What's it called?
It's called Radio is Cool.
Do you want to hear my one?
Yeah.
This song is playing on the radio. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio. This is a song that is playing right now.
Well, it's very stripped down, your one. It's not. My one was so flattering to everyone.
Well, yours was more tuneful, admittedly.
Yeah, and flattering
Listen
as well.
To
you
the
know,
song
was...
on the radio. Hey ho,
yours might
come
get
on, let's
played
go.
Played on a pirate station.
Listen to the song on the radio.
When I say a pirate
it's the
station,
one that's
I mean
playing right now.
One, you know, at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
When there were pirates. And then, mine's very contemporary.
Right.
Yeah. But well, good try, man.
Yeah. You've got a good voice, though. We were just backstage. Hey, we should say, I'm Adam.
I'm Joe. Hello. This is BBC Six Music live from Glastonbury 2009.
We were just hanging out backstage there in the BBC compound. And Keris, lovely Keris Matthews, another Six Music DJ and, of course, a wonderful music star in her own right, came over and we've been trying to coach Joe with his guitar playing because we promised rashly on Friday night when we did our sunset show.
One of many rash promises.
9 and 10. We love to make rash promises. One of our many rash promises was that at some point over this weekend, Joe was going to sing a sincere version of Neil Young's Harvest Moon and play the guitar. So he had to reacquaint himself with the chords. That hasn't been an easy process.
Yeah, you're saying that in the past tense as if I have done it.
Yeah.
I still have to do
still
it.
Still in the process. But Keris came over at one stage and we were hoping she might be able to solve the guitar chord problems. She didn't. But she did say that Joe had a lovely voice.
She did, yeah. And that coming from Keris Matthews.
I was pretty jealous.
Matthews,
yeah.
It's very flattering.
She's got a wonderful voice.
There is Neil Young. There is a tree. There's a naked man doing a wee.
How many people do you think were in that cabaret tent? A million?
I would say close to a million.
Close to a million people.
Yeah, a special unit of the police had to be mobilised to deal with them. There was a lot of people, though, seriously. I mean, there must have been about, what do you reckon, about 500?
1,000.
No, so about 500, though. That's
500.
Quite a good crowd.
Yeah.
You know, in a tent.
We didn't know what was going to happen. I was pretty nervous. I thought we were going to get bottled or shouted at.
Mm.
But you can find out exactly what happened later. But then we ran into somebody who performed before us.
Well, he ran into Kevin Eldon.
Yeah.
He was on before us, and he's got a character called Paul Hamilton, who's like a very worthy poet. I don't know if you have ever seen...
What would people know Kevin from?
Oh, man, he's been in so many things.
He's pretty much in all good comedy.
He's done a lot of things with Chris Morris. He was in Brass Eye.
He was in Jam as well, wasn't he?
He was in Big Train.
Yeah.
A lot. You know, like the sketch in Big Train where it's Ming the Merciless
yes,
and his...
in the hospital.
Ming was played by Mark Heap. From Spaced, And his sidekick was played by Kevin
Nighty
Elvin.
Nighty Night he was in as well.
Nighty Night. He was in Charlie Brooker's zombie thing.
He's brilliant.
He's amazing. Anyway, he does this character live called Paul Hamilton. We bumped into him after the gig and we were able to get Paul Hamilton to do a couple of very short poems for us. Here they are. We're very excited to be joined by the poet Paul Hamilton. We found him here.
Hi.
Soaking up the vibes. Paul, how was your gig?
I don't want to blow any trumpets, least of all my own, but...
I was wondering if you could do a short poem for us.
Sure. What kind of theme?
Non-swearing theme.
I don't swear.
Okay.
Unless
good.
It's reported speech. This has no reported speech. Okay, well, here, how about this one? It's short and sweet. It's called I Am a Dalek. Okay. I am a Dalek. No, literally.
Paul Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Actually, we've probably got time for one more if you could handle it, Paul.
Yeah, sure. Okay, this is a poem I wrote after... rather bitter altercation with my partner, Sophie. It's okay, everything's tickety-boo now. This is called Spain. I've no wish to go to Spain. No wish at all. And I shan't go. I shan't.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Keep broadcasting and please, all of you, keep listening.
Florence did a beautiful hub session for Keris yesterday. It'll be up later on the BBC Glastonbury website, bbc.co.uk/Glastonbury.
What kind of machine does she have? What does it do?
It's a screaming machine.
Is it?
A yelping, screaming machine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those high notes she hits, they're not her. When she performs, she's sitting on a giant steam contraption. I'm surprised you haven't seen this.
No.
It's a steam power contraption. She operates various huge pedals and pulleys. And they produce yelps and screams. You know...
Like a Muppaphone.
Exactly like a Muppaphone. Ow, yeah. ow.
There's Coke commercial that ripped off the Muppaphone recently.
Those commercials, they ruin everything.
They're absolutely unscrupulous.
But listen, I was thinking there's a big history of men screaming in rock.
Yeah.
Shouting particularly, Adam. You're a fan of shouty male
shouting.
Rock. And men love to get together at concerts and have one of their idols shout and give them permission to just scream their heads off.
Mm.
Not so much in lady music. But Florence there is doing some terrific screaming and getting a really enthusiastic response from the ladies in the crowd who suddenly feel free to scream. Because girls, you know, there's a certain type of girl that just loves to scream.
Well, some girls are loud.
What?
Some girls are loud.
Some girls are loud.
Are loud. Girls are loud.
Wow, you should be a pop Svengali.
Shouldn't
if
I?
If you can think of names like that.
But no, there's a lot more... shouty girl bands around, actually.
That's true.
You know,
it's a bit of a trend at the moment.
Bear
yeah,
suit?
That's true.
They like to do a bit
We've
of shouting.
We've played some Bear Suit in the past.
And
but that's just screaming in a record. That's quite unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice, though.
I like it a lot.
And do you think, presumably...
I call it girl power.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's
do you think that'll catch on?
I think that will catch on. That's
for a few months, then become really awful?
No, I think it'll be here to stay.
Here to stay, an important political force.
Yeah, definitely. Something that women can be proud of, finally.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, Florence is like that when she's at home and she just finds that someone's eaten her biscuits?
Yes, exactly. Go on then. Who's going to do this?
My throat's giving out after a weekend. I'm not sure.
Oh, the toast! The toast!
Oh, you burn the toast!
Is that any good? Was that what people wanted?
This milk is off!
Nobody wanted that at this time in the morning. I feel dizzy.
Adam and Joe's podcast from Glastonbury. It's got talking, it's got jingles, it's got BBC, which stands for Beer, Biscuits and Crisps.
We're joined by Emmy the Great and Ewan, who
Hello,
plays
we are
with
Emmy.
You are Emmy the Great. Together you're Emmy the Great. But you're great, though, Emmy. Come on. As
well,
a
that's
person.
Not to take anything away from Ewan, because I hear he's pretty great as
Ewan's
well.
Ewan's more awesome.
Ewan's awesome.
Ewan the awesome. On your passport, though, it says Ewan the Brills.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Ewan the Brills, he's absolutely Brills, he's got skills. And they are both wielding guitars. Have you played already at Glastonbury?
Yeah, we played a couple of gigs yesterday.
Yeah.
One of them someone shouted Stephen.
Yeah, now did
that?
Yes. Did that freak you out? Did you know what was going on there with people shouting
Well, no,
Stephen,
one of our band is called Stephen.
So did you think he just had a particularly loyal following?
Yes, and it was his first gig with us. I was surprised that they cared so quickly.
And did someone explain what was going on?
Not until later. So I had to introduce him. So I was like, wow, they really like you, Steve. Come to the front.
Well, in a way that's good, but in a way it's depressing because it means you don't know our show.
I know what's going on. I just didn't want to say just coming
that's
on
why
stage.
They call you the awesome.
But Joe, you know, creative people, particularly musicians, are too busy to listen to radio programs. You know,
new thing though? How new is it?
Just a couple of years.
No, it's been it's about a few months, I suppose, about 6 months worth of Stevenage.
I'm just dreaming, you know.
I've seen T-shirts with it now. It's one of those things where you notice it everywhere.
Right.
It's viral. It was invented very expensively by marketing men in Soho, wasn't it?
Health and safety, I got a little yellow coat on. Don't do nothing stupid or you'll be ejected.
Emmy the Great there with MIA.
How do you know it's finished?
Well, we still got the reverb on. Oh, I liked it with the reverb.
We did this.
Hey, okay, the reverb's
back. I
didn't
see that. I've got the reverb.
We can do a...
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wookiee Hole, the largest hole in the West Country.
We are near Wookiee Hole, aren't we?
That's why, yes, we are in Wookiee Hole,
madam.
All right,
to your left, stalactites. To your right, stalagmites.
I've finished now.
You
take it
off. Put your headphones on, then you can get the...
I know the effect of reverb.
Oh, that was beautiful. Well, please, can we get rid of the reverb? There we go. That was beautiful.
I like reverb. I wish I had reverb just naturally in my daily routine. I'm very pleased to say that we're joined by Julie Cullen here, who is the head of the Six Music News Department.
So, Julie, we're going to be a little bit stifled. We might be hesitant because we're intimidated by your importance, your position in the hierarchy.
We're intimidated by anyone in a position of authority.
Yes.
And we also have a problem with people in authority.
Yeah, so
really?
we might sort of be uppity.
A little bit
and
uppity.
A bit reactionary.
Yeah. Well, you might get sent to the dunce's corner then, or get a bit of a spanking.
Oh, now you're talking! What? What am I talking about? Listen, Julie, let me just stop talking right now and ask you what you've got in the music news for us today.
Well, as you can hear, Status Quo has just taken to the Pyramid stage, which is a bit of a...
There it is.
Yeah. That's enough, thanks. Thank you. Thanks a lot. No, they're good, but, you know, it's early in the morning.
It's early in the morning. It's a wonderful way to follow the rock ox that is Bruce Springsteen on the Pyramid stage.
Do you think that Quo are aware that they're in what is traditionally seen as the comedy slot?
I wouldn't have thought they minded, to be honest with you. It must just be nice for them to be playing to an appreciative field of stunned, dazed and confused festival goers on a Sunday morning.
That's the best time for them to get in there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When the crowd are at their weakest. What? I've just woken up.
I can't. My legs aren't working. I can't get away.
It'll take them an hour to realise who they're listening to. What? Oh, God.
Hand grenades flying over your head. What is it?
And then you're there's better something or get out of bed.
You're in the army now. Bums flying over your head.
Bums?
Bums.
Flying bums.
So Bruce Springsteen, of course, was on last night, as you said, and he overran his allotted slot.
Yes, and Emmy the Great was telling us something I didn't know, that you get fined if you go over. Is that true?
Absolutely. You need to be aware of this, guys. Apparently, Mendip Council is policing the main stage. We've heard this morning some breaking news. There will be a £3,000 fine for Bruce Springsteen, which Michael Eavis has stepped in and offered to pay for the fact that the set ran over, because everybody enjoyed it so much, he doesn't mind paying the fine on behalf of the boss.
And how many minutes did he overrun by then for £3,000?
I think it was about 15 minutes.
Right.
Well, hang on, but isn't Eavis the guy that would apply the fine?
I think that there are representatives of Mendip Council on site.
Oh, it's a council fine.
It is.
Oh, I see, because they've got a yes.
Why would Eavis apply? Why would he fine his own festival guys? You haven't thought that through, Joe Cornish.
Well, I was thinking it through. That's what raised the question. But now I'm thinking maybe I can fine my neighbours for leaving their telly on loud at night. Is that feasible?
You'll have to apply strict rules and it will have to be by the minute.
I'm going to move to the Mendips.
That's what's the logic, though? Because there's no... I mean, there's no people living in the immediate vicinity, are there, who would be disturbed by the...
There aren't, no. Perhaps the cows are a bit offended. Maybe they were planning to have an early night last night.
Yeah. Still, 3,000 quid for 15 minutes of Bruce feels like a bargain to me.
It's a bit of a bargain, really, isn't it?
You know, it would have been different if it had just been absolute rubbish. If he was doing his sort of Strawberry Switchblade covers or whatever, I don't know, at the end of the set.
He does do a lot of those.
But he held back on that, and he played a blinder last night.
He did play a blinder. Although I have to say, there was a little bit of divided opinion in the Vox Pop. Some people seemed to feel that he had gone on too long and he didn't give them the greatest hit set.
Oh, really? Mm. What did he not play? What did he spectacularly omit? Was Born in the USA there?
Born in the USA was not there, and I think that was the big one that everybody wanted.
Right.
Born to Run was there.
Yeah.
Mm, that's pretty good.
I'd take Born to Run over Born in the USA.
Did he play the theme from the film Philadelphia?
No.
Oh, that's the only one I know.
I thought you were going to say, did he play the Bourne Supremacy?
What he did play, however, is No Surrender, for which he got the lead singer of Gaslight Anthem on stage to repay the favour. Because earlier in the day, he popped up unexpectedly on the John Peel stage. And literally, if you go to the BBC Glastonbury website and watch the Six Music video roundup of the highlights of yesterday, the clip is in there, and the crowd are kind of seen clapping their hands to their foreheads because they can't believe
it's
that
Bruce
has just walked onto the John Peel stage.
In such close proximity, because it's only small, isn't it, the Peel stage?
And he kind of
Bruce is
burst that bubble of anticipation that was building all day yesterday to his set by doing that, which I thought was quite nice.
That's got to be the biggest guest appearance of the festival, surely.
Absolutely.
Because Neil Young wasn't like popping up on other people's sets, was he?
Neil Young, no, very unlikely. However, he had an unexpected appearance on back in London on stage last night from Paul McCartney, so everybody's doing it.
That's right, he was playing in Hyde Park, wasn't he? And he played Day in the Life at the end, which he also did at Glastonbury.
I'm sure I've seen Neil Young around the site, though. There was someone that looked very like him asleep in a skip.
There's a lot of people who look like Neil Young.
Oh, wait a second, he's a great big fat person.
This guy was eating cardboard. Was that him?
That'll be him.
Oh, this is tasty. Yeah. Wait a second. Can I get some sauce for this? It's tasted fine. I'm not complaining. But if you had sauce, I'd be really happy. It puts the lotion in a basket.
Adam's confusing Buffalo Bill with Neil Young.
What do you mean confusing him? They're the same person, aren't they?
Oh, wait. Is she a great big fat person?
So, Julie, what are you looking forward to today? What are the vibes like for Blur? Do you think they'll be getting any guests up on stage? Unlikely, isn't it?
No, I don't think they will. They don't really need to do that, do they?
No, exactly.
No, and they're each other are kind of guests in a way,
precisely.
You know? Because it's an important night for them, isn't it? First time together for how long?
Oh, man, a long time, isn't it? I bumped into Dave Rowntree yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He was saying the last time they were in Glastonbury was, I think, 98, when they were choppered in.
Right.
Choppered in and out. The chopper landed right behind the Pyramid stage. They got on stage, did their gig, came right off the stage, back in their chopper, off they went.
Do you think do you think they're going to have an argument on stage?
No.
Is that possible?
It's all harmonious in the Blur
camp
now.
Would you like to try and orchestrate that?
What if I sabotage one of their guitars, or if I slip a note that seems to have been written by one of them saying, Damon's an idiot hole into the other one's pocket.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But I think Damon might have his eye on you, though, because Damon was on site yesterday. Did you see him?
We did see him, yeah. He was being refused entry to the BBC compound by two very happy-looking security guards who were really enjoying telling him he didn't have the pass.
Genius.
He got in eventually, though. He didn't look pleased, though.
That's a shame.
We're going to play some Bruce Springsteen in a second, but at one stage, Bruce seemed to be joining in the Stephen phenomenon, if I may be so bold as to call it a phenomenon. Here's the moment when he was on stage last night where he's definitely doing a bit of Stevenage. Stephen! I mean, you can't hear the crowd saying, just coming, but I was shouting it.
I am standing in Glastonbury and I'm waiting for Bruce Springsteen. I'm about as happy as a person can be.
The thing that freaks me out about watching Bruce, right, when he's playing live, is, you know, they've got the guy from The Sopranos there. That's all I can think. You don't watch The Sopranos, do you?
No.
But Stevie Van Sant, who is the E Street Band's guitarist, is in The Sopranos.
Right.
And I forget the name of the character he plays on there. That's not...
Guitar Boy Malone.
Mikey Guitar Licks.
Stevie Strings.
And he's quite a weird character.
Frankie Fredbord.
You have to really stick with him the first few series of The Sopranos, because all you can think is, like, that's the guy from the E Street Band. What's he doing there? And he's got quite a ludicrous acting style. Like, right. A lot of the acting on The Sopranos is very finely honed and subtle. But then there are a few actors who play, like, Tony Soprano's entourage who go totally over the top with it and pull mad faces. And he's one of them. Like, he's the maximum mad face puller. Like, he just does a crazy kind of Robert De Niro grimace the whole time. And so it's still very odd to see him up there on stage. I like watching the way the shapes of all the musicians change as well. Do you know what I mean?
What, now their body shapes?
Yeah, now that they're getting a bit older. It's nice, I think. It's perfectly upset. People have got used to the fact that it's no longer wiry youngsters jumping around right. on stage playing rock. Whereas that was the quintessential type of, you know, image of a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's quite old men. Like, Bruce Springsteen's drummer last night was very smart. He looked as if he'd just come from an accounts meeting, and he had his little waistcoat on there and a nice shirt and was strumming away with a very respectable haircut. It was good. I liked it.
Do you think that there will eventually be mobility scooters on the stage?
At some stage, there must be. I mean, you know, there are some disabled rock stars.
Because that would be an exciting show. It would be almost like a bumper car display.
Right.
Along with the performance of the song. They could soup up the mobility scooters.
Yeah.
You know, with some ribbons and stickers.
To make it more rock.
Make it more rock.
Well, they could have fireworks and
stuff. Imagine the stage diving. A little ramp, the mobility scooter going up to maybe 15 mph, taking off into the front of the crowd.
Don't you think, though, that they would, rather than make it clear that it was a mobility scooter, don't you think that they would dress it up like a rock car or a space car?
Yes, or like a rock, as if they're just perched on a rock. Like, yeah, that's a good idea. Or a spaceship.
That brings us back to the back to the Flintstones, though.
They could use those things you get on piers, you know, the little rocking ships that go back and forth. You put 20p in them.
That's what Status Quo are using.
Born in the USA. The kids would love that.
Yeah. No, Status Quo are using them.
Are they?
They've got...
I hear Status Quo can't actually stand up, so they're actually being operated from above the stage on strings.
They're doing a good job. You know what? They sound pretty good out there. They know
what
they're doing.
They do sound good, don't they?
But yeah, Rick Parfitt's in a little rocket. There they are. You can hear them.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Well, that sounds decent, doesn't
it? Sounds decent, definitely.
It's good enough, man.
You know, I'll be up front. I'm not a fan of The Quo.
That's good, honest rock.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to uphold BBC Trust and say I'm not a fan of The Quo.
Wow. Really sticking
out my camera. I know. It's a dangerous position to take, isn't it? And I'm really standing out in the crowd, putting my head above the parapet.
It's the Glastonbury Festival. I can't believe we're here. It's muddy and it's rainy. What a special atmosphere at the festive hall.
It's Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. I always remember our friend Rob Baker. Do you remember Rob?
Oh, yes.
Who used to be a producer on the Adam and Joe show that we used to make for Channel 4 years ago. He went to the taping of a show called The White Room that Mark Radcliffe used to present, I think. It was Channel 4's big new music show back in the day. And Sparks were playing on The White Room, and they played that song. And they were joined on stage by a guest guitarist. And it was Bernard Butler, who had just left Suede at that point.
Wow.
And Rob didn't know what Bernard Butler looked like, but he knew about Suede, and he knew that the guitarist had departed. Anyway, knocked out by Bernard Butler's amazing guitar pyrotechnics on the Sparks track, he went up to him afterwards in the studio and said, "Wow, that was amazing. You're incredible. Thanks very much," says Bernard Butler. And Rob goes, "I mean, you should be the new guitarist in Suede." And so Bernard Butler obviously thought he was taking the mick and told him to to do some F-based things.
Yes.
That was a bad thing to say. Rob felt pretty bad about it.
Yeah, wow.
Have you ever made
rock
any...
rock and roll faux pas? Well, you know, my most famous one was lying to Frank Zappa's sons that I'd heard all their music when we filmed with them.
Right.
And they saw... I've told this story before, but they saw through me instantaneously.
Yeah.
No, you haven't. Oh, I really like your new album, by the way. You haven't heard it. And I just couldn't lie back. And it was just an awful, horrible silence. I went crimson.
I've never seen
you
go
that color. We were supposed to film with them for another hour. I just felt violated and
you went crimson
so ashamed of myself.
And started shaking.
Since then, I've never lied to a pop performer.
You should know. They can see right through. They've got
they
special
really can.
X-ray eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, folks, we're going to fill you in now on how we got on yesterday when we went to the cabaret tent and did a stint of live performing for the crowds and for Black Squadron, who turned up in their hundreds to see us read out some classic made-up jokes.
Yeah, if you've contributed a joke to this show, listen carefully, because you never know, your material might have been read out in front of a Glastonbury crowd. Check it out.
Hey, listeners, we're outside the cabaret tent. Kevin Eldon is on inside. It's a very, very packed audience in there.
It is. Quite a few people have turned up to see us, which is very heartening. We're just doing this little link outside the tent, and would you say 15 people with cameras have gathered around us?
Yeah. Black Squadron are here, basically.
It's the Black Squadron paparazzi division.
It's amazing.
They're papping us.
And this is intense Stevenage we're getting as well.
Never has there been so much Stevenage. There's waving and excitement.
Look, check this out. If I shout Steven right now, I'm going to get a good response.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Let's try it.
One, two, three.
Steven! That's pretty good.
Look at that.
It's pretty good. You know, they've had a tough weekend, so they're not as tight as they might be.
We didn't even arrange
that. Still high quality. That was very good indeed.
So here we go. Steven! Woo! This is amazing. This is maximum Stevenage. If you don't know who the hell we are or what we're talking about, we're Adam and Joe. I'm Adam.
Hello, I'm Joe.
We do a radio show on BBC Six Music. We used to be on television a long time ago, before 9/11. 9/11 changed all that. We've been banned from TV now. But we're here tonight to do a very, very fast set, a four-minute set of pure comedy uranium. These are made-up jokes that our listeners have sent in to us.
Yeah, we have to stress, these are all authored by real people. You know, they're not made by joke scientists. These are organic, fair trade jokes, you know, for the new millennium.
And to maximise the efficiency of this set, we're going to ask you not to make any noise at all.
If you think the jokes are terrible, please stay silent. If you think they're amazing, please stay completely silent. We're going to try and get 3 minutes of pure silence. And at the very end, you can let it all out.
You can respond in any way you please. We'll give you the cue and then you can let it all out. But until then, absolute silence for these extraordinary made-up jokes. I'm going to begin by setting the scene with a joke I made up myself that got the ball rolling on our radio show. I'm very pleased with it. What do you call a group of rapping babies? The No Solids crew. No noise!
There was some noise. Here's one I made up when my girlfriend said to me, "Oh, Joe, I've got really bad indigestion." Quick as a flash, I came back with, "Well, why don't you get out of digestion?"
No noise.
Tell me that noise.
This is a joke from Gareth in Letwick Major. What do you call an Italian who can talk to the dead? Luigi board.
Another one from Gareth. My cat Minton ate a shuttlecock. Bad Minton.
Born. How do you find Will Smith in the snow? Look for fresh prints. Just take a tiny second to take that in, and let's move on.
It's important for me to tell you that this next joke is written by a four-year-old, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you've got the year-old.
Yeah. What do you call a man with a spade on his head? The poo monster.
These are from Merrick Cartwright, incidentally, aged 4. Why did the chicken cross the road? He was being chased by the poo monster. Arnold Schwarzenegger was upset last Easter because he didn't get any eggs. His secretary said to him, "Does this mean you hate Easter now, Mr. Governor?" And he said, "Nah, I still love Easter, baby." That's it! Made up jokes!
Well, Adam and Joe, thank you very much to any listeners who've come to see us. Thanks to everybody else. Have a great festival.
We have just come off stage at the cabaret tent. We just completed our made-up joke set. And how did you feel it went, Joe?
I was excited. I think it went really well. I made a couple of pronunciatory boo-boos, but I feel that's part of my shtick.
It was brilliant. We turned
people
it round.
I,
you know, I ribbed you a little bit about it.
And
you took the
ribbing
really well. You didn't punch me or get very defensive.
I thought you might get angry because, you know, you're the stand-up and I was doing really well and probably level with you, you know, and I just thought you might be getting a bit angry.
I might be
jealous.
By it.
Yeah, threatened by my kind of untutored stand-up skills.
I thought I'd be annoyed by the fact that you haven't got any formal training
skills.
And there
I am.
The crowd
sort of like,
responding well
like
to you.
Michael Caine versus Al Pacino, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Black what Squadron. A great crowd.
They came out in
yeah.
droves.
If anyone's listening to this who is in that crowd, thank you. Thank you for coming and
You've
for giving us
two
such a welcome.
Very happy men, very, very old. Thank you.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I gotta kill you.
So, Joe, man, I was driving around the other day, stopped off in a motorway service station, one of my favourite things to do.
Lovely trip.
Birchanger. Do you pronounce it Birchanger? Birchanger?
I just try not to pronounce it at all.
Birchanger. Anyway, I walked past the fun games room, right?
Yes.
Do you ever stop off in the fun games room?
Oh, the little arcade?
Yeah.
That's terrific fun.
Super fun. But they've got big signs there now. Mm. I don't know. This is a sign of, I don't know if it's broken Britain or stupid Britain or
sign
what.
Sign of the times.
Sign of the times.
Messed with your
mind.
I
noticed that Prince was standing next to the sign, pointing at it. So maybe that's...
He loves those driving games.
That was it. Anyway, there were fruit machines inside the fun room, right? And it said, the big sign said, the golden rules of playing fruit machines.
Yes.
And it was a black poster in red writing. So, you know, like a
so
rabies poster.
So this is an
poster.
Official announcement.
Exactly.
Do you think government sanctioned?
Definitely.
Possibly.
Definitely. And here are some of the rules, the golden rules of playing fruit machines,
good.
Right?
Good.
Only play with money you can afford to lose. Afford written in capitals. That's an obvious one, right?
Yeah, but that's a difficult distinction to make.
Right.
I could, you know, how much money can one afford to lose?
We have to work it out before you go into the room.
Right, your weekly expenses, your essentials, disposable income.
Yeah. I mean, I would say maybe a fiver. You'd put aside a fiver. If you're thinking, I'm in the mood for fun, I want to go in there.
But you see, the point of fruit machines is you could possibly double your money.
That's the thing, isn't it?
So are you going to lose it? You know what? They're saying you're going to lose it? What?
Yeah.
Lose it in a fruit machine? That doesn't make sense.
Well, it says the other rule is set limits on how much you can spend.
Are these capitals you're emphasizing?
Yeah, capitals.
Set limits.
Playing within your means can be fun and exciting.
Right.
So it's mainly fun, not so much exciting. The main rule, though, is playing machines is buying fun, not investing money.
Oh,
man. That's rule number one.
I'm glad you've told me that. I've invested all my money in fruit machines, PLC.
You've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, that's every Saturday. That's where I go for my money. I put my wages in the fruit machine in that service station. I need to spend money, I mean, they charged for withdrawals.
Yeah.
I put more money in to try and get the money out.
And were you getting worried about how much money you were losing and that you weren't really seeing a return on your investment?
I assume all my money's safe in there. I've put a lot in there.
Yeah.
And they are a bit tight with what they give me.
You been mainly investing in cherries, bells or bars?
Bells. I'm going for the bells.
You're an idiot hole.
What?
You've been investing money...
I like the mixed fruit.
...in bars.
But it doesn't seem to pay.
You know, lemons is what I've put all my money into. So far,
I haven't got a commodity.
But according to this poster, playing machines is buying fun.
Playing machines is buying fun.
Not investing money. It's unbelievable. This is how we've got into this terrible situation that we're in financially as a country. Because no one realised that it was just buying fun and not investing money. That's a little public service announcement for you listeners.
Good for you.
Courtesy of Six Music.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you, Glastonbury. I've got to go. My chopper's all fueled and ready for action. Good night.
Oh, boy. That's it, man. That's it for Glastonbury 2009 for Adam and Joe.
Yeah, what a weekend it's been. It's been exhausting, exhilarating, exciting. It's been wet and hot. Sort of like my average night in bed.
And also, like your average night in bed, Kasabian have turned up.
Yes, Kasabian are always there. They do. It does
looking
get crowded.
Unshaven and smelly.
Neil Young sitting, drinking booze in the
sitting
corner.
On the end of the bed. Oh, wait. Would you mind if I just went to the toilet?
That's the kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let one off. Is that okay?
It's fine as well.
It puts a lotion in the
hang on. We have to step aside because
the car is driving here through the BBC compound.
He's actually heading towards us to kill us. There's very little respect for podcast recording here from the security.
The window's blacked out of the car.
Who knows who's in there?
Could be inside
this could
it.
Be exciting. Maybe this is
the door's going to open.
Maybe this is Damon.
And we are going to tell you who steps out of this car.
It's very exciting. This is the final moment here in our podcast.
They will, of course, think that we are here just to talk to them. And it's Johnny Spills.
It's Trevor Thunders from the Rumble.
I tell you though, listeners, it's someone who probably is famous and we're just too thick to know about it.
He's
and
certainly dressed very famous.
Well, exactly.
He's got bright white DMs and a Pete Doherty-style hat and floppy hair. That's
skinny
all
trousers.
Anyway, thanks very much, everybody, for listening. We hope you've enjoyed our coverage. And we're off for the summer, of course. We hope to be back later in the year.
And thank you very much to everyone who's contributed to the show, especially the authors of the made-up jokes, whose material we read out.
But of course, if you're a podcast listener, all is not lost. We'll be with you for the next 7 or 8 weeks. We've got regular podcasts mining the amazing bucket that is Song Wars.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for those. Have a great summer, and we'll be with you sometime in September. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.